going to talk about communication. The title of the message, Erosion Control, Maintaining Good Communication. And right off the bat, here's the deal. God made us all different, right? Men and women are different. When men engage in a dialogue, they simply want information. When a woman engages in dialogue, she wants conversation. It doesn't mean one is right and the other is wrong. It simply means we're different. And in a marriage relationship, different is good. But what we have to do is we have to understand that God made us differently. He wired us differently. So that when we approach our communication in our marriages, or for those of you that are single, those of you that are one day going to be married, we want to make sure that we have a better understanding about what Scripture has to say about communicating and how we can become more effective in our communication. Once again, guys talk for information. Ladies, you talk basically for conversation, which means this. When the kids are away from home and they call, if dad answers the phone at home, he's like, okay, hello, how are you? What's going on? What do you need? Okay, talk to you later. Love you, bye. If the mom gets on the phone, it's not just about information. It's about who, what, where, when, how. Mom wants to reach out and touch you and then reach out and touch you some more because it's about conversation. And once again, it's not about right and wrong. It's about different, and different is good. A man comes in, walks into a marriage relationship with his own dictionary, the meaning of words. A wife walks into a marriage relationship with her own dictionary, her own meaning of words. And where we face some conflict sometimes in our relationships is that the words that I use and what they mean to me are not necessarily the same words that my wife would use, nor do those words mean the same to her. One word means one thing to me, it means something different to her. So really, after 23 years of marriage, Gloria and I have kind of come up with our own vocabulary, our own language, right? Through trials and the school of hard knocks, we've learned how to communicate more effectively with one another. What works for me, what works for her, and to have that kind of approach in our marriage relationship makes for a much more harmonious and happy marriage relationship. A few things I want you to know as we get into the message, and that is, these are some things that I've learned over the years that have really helped me a lot. First of all, if you'll think twice before you speak once, you'll always speak twice as effective. Just think before you speak, and then think again before you speak, and it's going to go a whole lot better for you. You see, I believe that a mouth is like a door. It should only be open when you know where you're going, okay? Just some words of wisdom that I have learned along the way. I also believe that every man should have the final word in every conversation with his wife. And it usually goes like this, yes, ma'am, okay? So look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17 with me. I'd like for us to read this verse of Scripture out loud together. Here we go. An unreliable messenger can cause a lot of trouble. Reliable communication permits progress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the privilege that we have to study your word and to learn and grow from your word. Thank you that your word will have its proper entrance and will be welcome into our hearts and minds today, Lord. We thank you for the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We thank you that our minds can be renewed by the washing of the water by the word of God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word definitely will find its home in our hearts today, producing good fruit, for the seed will be planted in good soil. It'll draw us closer to Christ. And Lord, I thank you that it will help us to become more like Christ. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Everyone said, amen and amen. All right. So relationships, all relationships are made, maintained, or marred by our communication. And not so much by the words that we use, yes, by the words that we use, but the style of our communication, not just the substance of our communication. Communication is such a broad subject, and I'm just amazed at how much God's Word has to say about this topic. Take, for example, our opening text. An unreliable messenger can cause a lot of trouble. But what does that mean? That means a number of things. One of the things that it means is this. When the message doesn't come out the right way, it can cause a lot of problems. How many men are like, yes, Pastor Carl, that's true, right? It didn't come out the way you thought it was supposed to come out. And by the expression on your wife's face, you're like, uh-oh, can we hit the pause button and rewind? No, you said it, now you got to own it, okay? Good luck getting out of that one. And then it goes on to say reliable communication, dependable communication, effective communication permits progress. The only way that we can have progress in our lives, progress in our marriages, progress in our relationships, progress in parenting, progress in business, progress in church life, progress in a community, progress in our nation, is there has to be reliable communication. So here are three things that you need to know about words and communication. Number one, words have power. Say that with me. Words have power. Look at Proverbs 18:21. Let's read this out loud together. Words can bring death or life. Talk too much and you will eat everything you say. Practical. I love how practical God's word is. You know, be careful what you say because you might have to eat those words one day, right? That's what the wisdom of Solomon is sharing with us here. He's also reminding us that words are not just empty and meaningless. Words have life in them, or words have death in them. Words have power. Words can heal or words can hurt. Words can build up or words can tear down. Words can bind or words can loose. Words can bless or words can curse. Think of this. All of us in here today, we are the sum total of all the words that have been spoken over our life that we have received up to this point in our life. And it's my hope, and it's my prayer, that the sum total of all the words that have been spoken over your life have been words of healing, and words of blessing, and words of comfort, and words of encouragement. Because you know, words are so powerful. They live forever. Words are eternal. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. We don't understand this. We don't fully grasp and understand the power of a word that is spoken over somebody's life. Some of you have words that have been spoken over your life that have lived in your mind and lived in your heart to this day and have hindered you. And those words, those negative words, those curse words, or those words that were spoken to bring a curse on your life, will continue to live on in your mind and in your heart and in your life, hindering you and preventing you from reaching your full potential in Christ until a greater word is spoken over your life, which is God's word, and His word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that word can pierce and divide and bring to not those words, those negative words, those words of death that have been spoken over your life. The power of words. Those of you that are work in you're an attorney or you work in an attorney's office, you've been in big cases, you know that a case is won or lost by the power of words. People are elected to the highest offices in the land through the power of words. How well they can communicate. It's set aside whether they have the credentials for it or not. We're talking about just purely the power of words. Think about teams win championships through the power of the spoken words. Words communicated through a coach that's a motivator can just give the team the edge that it needs to get out there and to win on that field. Change. Significant change comes through the power of words, spoken words. Can anyone say Martin Luther King Jr.? The change that came into existence, the positive change, the important change, because a man was able to effectively communicate, a man that knew the power of the spoken word. You know, you can talk your way into a job. And how many know you can talk your way out of a job? The power of words. You talk your way into a marriage. you can talk your way out of a marriage. Words. The power of words. You know, they've done extensive research and they have discovered the predictability of divorce in a newly married couple. How have they been able to discover, by way of scientific research, the predictability of whether or not a newly married couple will stay married or get a divorce? They're able to determine it based on the first 3 minutes of a conversation that that couple is having related to a hot topic conflict issue in their marriage. Imagine that. The first 3 minutes, the words, the tone, the spirit, the demeanor, the attitude, they can take that and determine and project it long term whether that couple will remain married or not. We have to understand the power of words, that reliable communication permits progress. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, I love the book of Proverbs, it has so much to say about words and communication. Proverbs 15:1 says this, harsh words stir up anger, but a soft reply turns away wrath. Harsh words, what do harsh words do? They stir up anger on the inside, but a soft answer, a soft response can turn away wrath. Now, those of you that are in sales, those of you that are in some type of a service-oriented business, you know how sometimes customers can come and they have a grudge, they have an issue, they have a problem, and you can make matters better or worse simply based on how you respond to them. If you respond in such a way that incites or stirs up more of that anger in them, it's going to make matters worse. But if somebody comes and they're hot under the collar and you say, sir, I am so sorry. I understand that we did not provide you with the best of service. I hope that you'll give us another chance to do it better next time. All of a sudden, you're like, okay, I was mad. I'm not mad anymore. You're like, okay, well, I appreciate that. How do I know that? It happened to me just the other day. Anyway, so thank God for those of you that are patient when, you know, maybe the service wasn't the best that it could have been. Soft answer turns away wrath. How many times in our marriages, in our parenting, in our jobs, working with our direct reports or supervisors or coworkers, how many times could we turn the tide of a conversation by simply responding in a kind way, in a compassionate way? Simply taking God at his word, Proverbs 15:1, and giving a soft answer, a soft reply. Matter of fact, Gottman, Dr. John Gottman in the Gottman Institute, they use this term soft startup. Soft startup. Whenever you have an important conversation that you need to have with somebody in your life, an important person in your life, I read a book a long time ago called Crucial Confrontations. It was a great book. Crucial Confrontations. And it talked about in life that sometimes you have to have some heart-to-heart, some really hard, challenging, difficult conversations with people, and so they call them crucial confrontations. And they talk about some techniques on how you can do that. Well, one of the techniques that the Gottman Institute promotes is a soft startup. You see, the words that you use right off the bat, the first 30 seconds of entering into a conversation with somebody will set the tone for the rest of the conversation. And if we'll simply take God at his word and speak compassionately and not use harsh words, then we're not going to push any hot buttons in that person, and we're going to be able to communicate and move towards a better and deeper understanding. Never underestimate the power of words. Number two, words are creative. Look at Hebrews 11. Verse 3. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand, as Christians, as followers of God, we understand that the worlds were framed, I love that, framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Almighty God created everything that we see, has its origin in how God created all things. He did it with his words. He said, let there be light. Boom. There was light. The creative power of God's word. Words are creative, or words can be destructive. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1 that we're to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Just like any child growing up wants to imitate his father, you know, boys want to be like their dad, you know, we're to want to be like our Heavenly Father. And what's God like? He understands the power of words, and he knows that words are creative, and with his words, he creates. Listen, the world that you're living in today is the world, my friend, that you have created by your words. The relationships, the quality of those relationships have been created by the words you have spoken. You see, if we're always quick to want to give people a piece of our mind, I just shoot from the gut and I just shoot from the hip, I just, whatever's on my mind, I just say, and if people like it or not, I really don't care. That's why, my friend, your kids don't want to come around you. That's why your wife can barely stand you, and that's why you have no friends. So, maybe there is a better approach, okay, to unlearn and relearn. You see, some of us, maybe we're raised in homes, and on the bad side, we understand how powerful words can be, how destructive words can be, that words truly are creative, and that we need to begin to use our words to create a better environment for our relationships. So, what kind of world have you created with your words? Words have power, and words can create. And that's why we have to be careful the words that we use and the words that we speak over one another. Especially parents. We have to be careful the words that we speak over our children. We have to speak prophetic words over them. We have to speak the promises of God over them. We need to remind them on a constant basis, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That if God is for you, who could be against you? Yes, you're going to face some hard times, and yes, you're going to face some hardships, and yes, there will be setbacks in life. But always know this, son. Always know this, daughter. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord is your shepherd. He will guide you and lead you into green pastures. Surely, mercy will follow you all the days of your life. We have to speak these words of life and words of grace over our children. That's why I believe we have to be careful with labels. Labels. We have so many labels today. We have so many conditions that exist today that did not exist when I was growing up, thank God. You see, I was a rambunctious little boy in school. Hard for me to sit in that little square wooden hard on your behind seat for 6 hours. I was restless. I needed activity. I couldn't just sit there like those cute, pretty little girls that were in my class taking notes. I'm like, now if they had the diagnosis they have today, they would have labeled me as an ADHD kid. Not just ADD, ADHD. Attention deficit hyper. What is it? Attention deficit hyper disorder. Thank God that they didn't have those labels back then. Because then I would have had this label slap right on me. You have ADHD. And all of a sudden, that could have become my excuse in life. Why I just can't learn like others. Why I just can't excel like others. Why things don't just go. Now, I know there are some people in here, you're way smarter than I am in this area. But I'm just thankful that nobody put that label on me. And even if somebody has put that label on you, and even if that condition does exist, here's what I know. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he that's begun a good work in you, he will complete it. God is bigger than that diagnosis. God has another diagnosis for you. You are the workmanship of Christ in Christ Jesus. Woohoo! That's what I'm talking about. You reign in life by one, as a king by one Christ Jesus. Romans 5:17. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the labels that we need to be placing upon our children. There's nothing you can't achieve. There's nothing you can't accomplish with God's help. Because with God, all things are possible. That's the label we want to place on our kids these days. Amen? You got ADHD, start taking these drugs. I probably wouldn't be here today if I started taking those drugs way back when. I'll tell you what, sometimes it's not so much the condition, it's that mama's feeding you Fruit Loops and pancakes with extra syrup and orange juice. You got way too much sugar in you. Like, what did you eat this morning, Pastor Carl? I'm getting fired up. Words are powerful. Words are creative. And number three, words have meaning. They have meaning. Look at Ephesians 4. 29. I just love God's word, how practical and powerful it is. Let's read this verse out loud together. Here we go. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So God is so practical. He says, listen, stop letting that corrupt stuff come out of your mouth. One translation reads it, says it this way: don't say anything that would hurt another person. How practical is that today? If you'll think twice before you speak once, you'll speak twice as effective. So next time you're going to say something to somebody, stop, pause, ask yourself, how will they hear this? How will they receive this? Will this help them or will this hurt them? And if it's not going to help them, maybe it's better off not saying it altogether. How about you? Are you with me on that? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because reliable communication permits progress. You want progress in your marriage? You want progress in your career? You want progress in your life? You want progress in all of your relationships? Learn how to communicate more effectively. That's why I believe God gave us two ears and one mouth. We should be doing twice as much listening as we do talking. Hello, right? I mean, the people that you really enjoy having a conversation with are the people who sit there and actually listen to you. And they listen to you sincerely and empathetically. They're not trying to define, interpret, whatever, fix. They're just listening. Just listening. You know, there are four subjects that people love to talk about. First of all, themselves. Second of all, themselves. Thirdly, themselves. And fourthly, themselves. You want to engage anybody in a lively conversation? Ask them questions about themselves. People love to hear and talk about themselves. Then they love to hear and talk about their opinions. And then they love to hear and talk about other things that are interesting to them. And the final thing that they like to talk about is you. I'm sorry to say it, but that's just the truth. And nobody really wants to hear your problems or my problems. You know why? Half the people think you deserve them, and the other half really don't care. So for those few people in your life that genuinely, empathetically listen as you bare your heart, hold on to them, pay them extra money if you have to. Those are the valuable people in your life. Effective communication really begins with the understanding the power of listening. And words have meaning. What they mean to me, they may not mean to you. And what they mean to you, they may not mean to me. So we have to understand. So the key is, only allow words that will edify and words that will minister grace to the hearers to come out of your mouth. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12:34. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. When you say something, and after you say it, you're like, oh, I really didn't mean that. Yes, you did, because it came from your heart. And listen, if we don't like what's coming out of our mouth, we have to change what we're putting in our heart. Oh, that was really good, and it went right past you. All right, next communion service, espresso, not grape juice, espresso. Wake these people up, amen. If you don't like what's coming out of your mouth, you have to change what you're putting in your heart. Hey, I'm just saying this as your pastor, I love you. Too much worldly influence, too much worldly TV, worldly magazines, worldly news, worldly music, worldly stuff, too much of that in you, you're not going to like what's coming out of you. If you want to change what's coming out of you, you've got to change what's coming in to you through the ear gate and through the eye gate. Listen, Jesus said this in that same chapter, Matthew 12. He said, you will be judged by your words, and you will be justified by your words. He also said this, we will all be held accountable for every careless word we've ever spoken. How many of you need to repent and ask God to forgive you so that the blood of Jesus will wipe away some really foolish, careless things that you've said in your lifetime? Come on, raise your hand. Am I the only one? Thank you for your honesty. All of us have. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. And that's why we have to be sensitive. Sometimes you're saying something, you're like, no, I shouldn't be saying this, but it feels so good to gossip, but I shouldn't be doing this, but it feels so good. You're going to be accountable, right? You're going to be accountable. So we have to know, we have to learn and know, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to shut off the flow, because words have power. Words are creative, because words are eternal. The words I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and life. Words are eternal. People throughout eternity will remember the words that have been spoken, unless God has supernaturally intervened in the bad words or the negative words that have been spoken over your life. People in hell today, as Jesus told the story of rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, Lazarus died, was taken to Abraham's bosom, and in Luke 16, the rich man died and he was taken to hell. And in torments, he opened up his eyes. He had total recall, total recollection of what was happening in his life prior to his physical death. And now he's in hell. And he will spend eternity knowing the chances and the opportunities that he heard the good news but did not respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Words are eternal. Words are powerful. Words are creative. Words have meaning. In my study for this series, I've been reading several books, and not only do I go through all my large theological library and stay up to date with what Scripture is saying, how to interpret certain Scripture, but I also enjoy reading some books, secular books, not Christian books, and I came across one that I've read. It's entitled, That's Not What I Meant, and that title caught my attention. That's Not What I Meant. It was written by Deborah Tannen. She's the linguistics professor at Georgetown University. And she has a very interesting term that she coined called meta-message. Meta-message. And in the book, she describes that there is, in all of our communication, there's the message, and then there's the meta-message. And it reminded me of what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, a word fitly spoken in due season is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word fitly spoken, the right word, communicated the right way, at the right time, in the right place, is absolutely beautiful. It's like apples of gold in a setting of silver. You see, it's not so much what we say, but the frame or the context, how we say it and when we say it, that takes a simple message and turns it into a meta-message. In her research and in her lecturing and in her writing, she defines meta-message as the timing of what's said, the way that it's said, the fluctuation of your voice, the intensity level, the pitch, the tone, intonation, all of that is what becomes the meta-message. Let me give you three quick examples. A newly married couple, husband and wife, they're sitting on the couch watching some television. All of a sudden, husband gets hungry. So he gets up, he goes to the kitchen, he makes himself a sandwich, he comes back, sits next to his wife, and she says, did you make me a sandwich? He's like, no. Are you hungry? Not really. Well, if you are, you can have my sandwich. I don't want your sandwich. That's your sandwich. You made it for yourself. He's like, well, okay, information, you know, like, either you're hungry or you're not. And if you're hungry, I'll go make you a sandwich. That's not the point. The point is you went and made yourself a sandwich without asking me if I wanted a sandwich. Well, either you're hungry or you're not. And if you're hungry, you can have the sandwich. I don't even want it anymore, or I'll go in there and make your own sandwich, okay? Is it a crime for a man when he's hungry to go make him a sandwich? Here's the deal. There's the message, and then the meta message. For the wife, what was the meta message? She would never have gotten up to go fix her a snack without first asking, honey, I'm going to go get me a snack. Is there something I can bring you? Why? Because women, by nature, are more thoughtful than men. Right? And so her interpretation of him simply, you know, here's a guy. Hungry, food, good. Go eat. That's what he's thinking himself. So he gets up, something real innocent, making sense. Now you're in a heated discussion. Why? Because you're missing the point. It's not the sandwich. It's the meta message behind the sandwich that your wife wants to know she is valuable and that you love her. So pause, rewind. I'm hungry. I'm going to go make me something. Would you like for me to make you something? Oh, no, honey, go ahead. He goes in there. Everything's fine. He comes back with a sandwich. Everything's good. Everything's good. You get to sleep in the bedroom and not the couch. It's all good, okay? There's the message. Then there's the message behind the message. That's the meta message, right? Let me give you another illustration. I have to ask my wife for forgiveness in advance. She's going to kill me for telling this story. But it's just too good not to share it today, okay? Sorry, honey. So we were at this conference at Gateway Church there in Southlake, and some of our pastors were there, our wives. It's their annual big conference. 5,000 people were there. It was totally awesome. Great worship, speaking. It was terrific. Well, after one of the sessions, you know, one of the guys that was on the platform was walking around the foyer area, and so I went up to introduce myself to him. My wife was with me. I said, hi, I'm Carl, and I pastor in Lubbock, Texas. This is my wife, Gloria. And he looked at her, and then he looked at me, and I'm not joking. He said, she's pretty. I'm like, okay, that's the message. She's pretty. But in my mind, I'm thinking, meta message. What did he mean by that? What's the context of that? Because the way he looked at me is like, wow, she's pretty. What happened to you? How'd you end up with her? Miracles do happen, okay? Or, I know this ain't right, I'm a pastor, I shouldn't think this way. I'm like, is he like coming on and saying, do you have someplace else to be right now? I'd like to talk alone with your wife. And I'm like, that's the time to throw down right here. I don't care how tall you are. Forgive me, that was my mind, that was the carnal part of my mind working that day. And here's what we do. We assume things to be true that aren't true. It was just a genuine compliment. And I shouldn't have tried to have assigned any interpretation to that, even though behind every message is a meta message. And I joked with my wife afterwards. I said, guys can get away with saying things that women never could. When was the last time I told her that we walked up to a lady and you introduced me to her, and then she looked at me and then she looked at me and said, he's good looking. That has never happened. For whatever reasons. I'm just kidding. So it just simply means, ladies, you have much more class than us guys. All right, listen, I got to wrap this up. Listen to my words very carefully. This is how the Lord gave them to me. Any dummy can talk. It takes a wise person to communicate. I'll say that again. Any dummy can talk. It takes a wise person to communicate. Any dummy can talk. It takes a wise person to communicate. All right? Listening to me very carefully. Hey, little fella, what's your name?
You know I don't have a name. I'm a dummy. Dummy.
You sure are. Are you happy to be here with all these fine people today?
I was until you started speaking.
Oh, how nice. Well, you know what? You must have woken up out of the wrong side of the bed, or should I say box, and that's where you're going to go back here in another hour, back to the box. All right. Do you get it? Any dummy. You can get any dummy to talk, but it takes a wise person to communicate. I think we have a lot of dummies in our world today that are talking, and few wise people that are genuinely communicating. I'm here to challenge all of us to be in that latter group, that when we open our mouth, we have something to say. And what's the most important message? What is the mega message, the meta message? It's Jesus. You see, Hebrews 1:1-2 says, God at various times in sundry ways has spoken to our ancestors through the prophets, but in these last days has spoken unto us through his Son. You see, there's the message. There's the message that Moses preached. And there's the message that David preached. And there's the message that Samuel preached. And there's the message that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and Hosea and Joel and Obadiah preached. There's the message that Paul and Peter and James and John preached. That's the message. But when Jesus showed up, He brought us the mega meta message of heaven. How do we know that what Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Peter and James and John and Paul, how do we know that their message is reliable? Because in these last days, God has communicated to us by His Son, through His Son, which is the ultimate authority of God's Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. And He came to bring us the message of God, which is a message of love and grace and forgiveness and redemption. And it points us to the will of the Father and the plan of the Father and the purpose of the Father. May we have ears to hear that message. Come on, church, let's thank God for His message. Not just the message, the meta, mega message of heaven, that you're worth it. You're worth every single drop of blood that Jesus shed upon this sin-cursed planet of ours. You are worth it. He loves you. You see, me declaring to you today that I'm a Christian, that's the message. You declaring to me today that you're a Christian, that's the message. But what's the meta message? What's the context of that? When we stop simply telling, I think the world's tired of our message. I think they're waiting to hear and see the meta message. Me saying I'm a Christian, that's the message. But me living a passion-filled, devoted, on fire life in pursuit of Jesus Christ with all of my heart, that then becomes not just a message, that becomes a meta message. May we be a church in this community and in this nation and in the world that doesn't just call itself a church, that we don't simply call ourselves Christians, but that we are in hot pursuit of Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the meta message or the mega message the world is in desperate need of today, church. Come on, let's thank God together. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your message to us, in us, and through us. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you today for reminding all of us through this message of the power of words, that words are creative and that words have meaning. May we not allow any corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouth. God, help us put a watch over our mouth. We pray, Lord, that we would fill our hearts with your love and with your word. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I pray, God, that you would begin to promote healing and progress in all of our relationships. May we choose our words carefully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you feel far from God and you want to recommit, rededicate your life to Him, then say these words out loud with the rest of us. Same with your own mouth. Mean them from your own heart. For the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Say this out loud with the rest of us. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family?